The Gift Still Given Ministry is the title of today's sermon by the Reverend Chris Johnson in this morning's worship service from Zion Lutheran Church in downtown Wausau, Wisconsin. We invite you to join us in praising God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through this worship service. Presiding pastor is the Reverend Stephen Jurdy. The service begins with the prayers for confession and absolution. Then the congregation will sing the entrance hymn, Arise and Shine in Splendor, hymn number 396 in the Lutheran service book. The organist is Cantor Irene Beethy. The lector is Grace Muir.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church, and by the authority of Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Holy Church, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Keep your family, the Church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Epiphany is written in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 138.
I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I will sing your praise. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things. All the kings of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. The Lord be high, he cares for the lowly, he perceives the haughty from afar. The Lord will make good his purpose for me. O Lord, your love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hand. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
The epistle lesson is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12b through 20. Strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say, Amen, to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil. But in your thinking, be mature. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us confess the faith with one heart.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified by and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The children are now going to the church hall for Sunday school classes. In response to the Word of God, the congregation sings the hymn of the day, "Hail to the Lord's Anointed," number 87 in the Lutheran Book of Worship.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to Jesus' command to Peter. From now on, you will be catching men. Jesus had a strange way of speaking at times. He was well known for teaching in his parables, but this time, Jesus wasn't giving Peter a parable. Peter knew what Jesus was talking about because Jesus had just fished for him and had just caught him right there and then. Jesus fished and caught Peter and John and his brother James, the first men who were called to the apostolic ministry. Even though Peter was on the boat fishing, as was his vocation, his job, Luke's gospel lets us know it's really Jesus who's doing the fishing here. And he caught them. He caught them, but why? So that there would be others to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to announce the deaf and the blind, both those who are physically and spiritually deaf and blind, that they will be able to hear and see again, to bring freedom to humanity caught in the captivity of sin under the very judgment of God because of their willful rebellion against him. In other words, Jesus caught these men to be pastors, to be preachers, to be ambassadors of the King who has returned to this world, the manager who has come back to his vineyard. The King was planted into the ground, his standard, that this and everything in heaven and on earth was, is now, and forever shall be his. Later, after the resurrection and ascension, Peter, John, and James get to do just that. They preach and proclaim that Jesus is the risen King who has come to reclaim this world, and he is doing it one person at a time, one family at a time, one community at a time, through the preaching of the gospel and the administering of the sacraments. Sinners are justified, brought to repentance. The unholy are sanctified by the Spirit of the living God. Anyone ignorant of God and his ways are edified and taught who God is and how he's made himself known in Jesus Christ. People are fished for and caught through the gospel, through the net of the gospel, through the word and sacraments. And who does Jesus use to do all this? He uses men like Peter, James, John as pastors and preachers. Or in other words, the Lord uses the ministry to save as many people as possible from now until Jesus' triumphant return. So what I want to do now is give you two reasons why the call to the preaching office is so important, the ministry is so important. And I want to do this because there might be some here who are called to this joyful calling but don't know it yet. And I want to do this because you might know someone who has the gifts and skills and talents to be called to the office of ministry, to word and sacrament. I want to do this because Jesus called Peter. Peter called others, and those others called other pastors, and so on and so forth, until here we are today, here at Zion, with two pastors called to word and sacrament ministry, with another going through the ordination process, just chomping at the bit to be ordained and get through seminary to be a fully fledged ordained minister of word and sacrament. And this, people of God, follows a chain here at Zion of over 20 other pastors and preachers who have served at Zion for over 140 years. So here's the first reason why the preaching office is so important, the ministry. This, the ministry, is the appointed means by which the Lord is saving his chosen people. God has brought many men for the ministry of word to word and sacrament to Zion so that people like you, so that people over the radio, so that now people over the internet can hear and receive the message of redemption, the good news of sinners being justified, before God through faith in Christ, the good news that today is the day of God's favor, the good news that your holiness is washed clean by the blood of Christ, the good news the Holy Spirit dwelling in you is the Father's pledge that one day your dead body will be resurrected and brought into the new creation. And so we in the ministry, we have been entrusted with a message, with the message of immense importance. We have been entrusted with this message of eternal consequence. We have been entrusted with this message that concerns the destiny of nations, of communities, of families, of individuals, that concerns your destiny. This message is the only message that is strong enough to raise the dead, both spiritually dead and those who are physically dead. Because our message that we preach isn't our message at all, but it's Christ's. He is the truth, the way, and the life. And what he says through the preaching of the gospel is the net that catches men for ministry and catches all sorts of people for salvation, a net that has caught you and brought you here to this church this day and keeps you on the ship of salvation, this gospel that keeps you part of the church, the body of Christ. A second reason why the call to ministry is so important, because, to switch metaphors from the lake to the farm, not only do wandering sheep need to be found and rescued, but they also must be fed, nourished, and protected. And so men caught for the ministry of the gospel, of word and sacrament, have our Heavenly Father's care for their people and their hearts. This is why we preach week after week, administer the sacraments regularly, so that you, the people of God, wouldn't starve and go hungry, but be well-fed, be nourished, and be strengthened by the truth of the gospel, because we remember Jesus is the bread of life, and whoever comes to him shall never hunger, and whoever believes in him will never thirst. Or as Peter himself put it this way in his first letter, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. And so this ministry is given not only to save sinners from perdition, but also to feed, to nourish, to restore, to revive your weary souls as you serve your Lord, your God, at your vocations. The Lord doesn't call everyone to ministry, but he does call all of you to be faithful Christians wherever you are and in whatever you are doing. Whether it's at the job or at home, whether it's as a mother or a father or a aunt or an uncle or as someone who works in the paper mill or who works in the insurance company and so on and so forth, God needs faithful Christians doing their faithful labor for the glory of God at their God-given vocations. And the Lord will always have enough for you. Provide enough for you. Just as surely as Peter cast his net off the side at the Lord's command and came up with a huge haul of fish, so also will the Lord provide all that you need from day to day. He provides enough for you today, tomorrow, and always, so that you can pray or say with your dying breath, Lord, whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is your portion. He provides you that portion. He gives you himself through the ministry of word and sacrament. And as a called and ordained pastor and preacher, we get to do this. We get to do that. We get to give you all the spiritual sustenance you need to carry you from this life and on to the next until you meet your Maker face to face. This is our call. This is our commission. And we take this with the utmost seriousness because we know that we as pastors will be held to a greater accountability by the Lord by how we have fed and nourished you with the word of life, with the bread of heaven, with the cup of salvation. And so, people of God, with all that you have received from the Lord here at Zion for over 140 years, With all that you receive week after week here at this Church of God, with all the Lord has done for you, the people of Zion, it's time to plant if you haven't done yet. It's time to plant the desire, the longing to serve the Lord as a preacher, as a pastor in the hearts of your sons, your grandsons, your nephews, in the hearts of the young men of this congregation. We have four sons of this congregation in confirmation, a number of them below us in Sunday school. We have another 14 of your sons in high school, a few more in college right now. The harvest is plentiful, as Jesus said, but the laborers are few. And so there's no better time than now to talk to these boys, these young men, about the significance of serving the Lord their God for the sake of his church as a pastor, as a preacher, as a fisher of men, because they get to preach the message of salvation to people who are lost, to people who are wandering, to people who have no hope, to people who are under the judgment of God and don't even know it. They get to preach the message of life and salvation and feed that message to the people of God week after week, to the saints of God, day in and day out, administering the body and blood of the Lord for the forgiveness of their sins, pardoning God's faithful people with the sweet joy of the gospel, teaching the scriptures to young and old as faith is formed. Love for Christ grows and swells, and the Spirit of the living God continues to sanctify and keep you, people of God, united to his body, the church, unto life everlasting. And so mothers, fathers, grandparents, godparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, tell your sons, your grandsons, your nephews, your godchildren about the joys of ministry, about fishing for people. Tell them what pastors have meant to you as the gospel has caught you through the net of their ministry, which again is not our ministry, but is God's ministry. Tell them why the church needs them, why the Lord of heaven and earth needs their hearts, needs their minds, needs their voices to preach, needs their shoulders to carry the church, to bear the burdens of God's people, and to give Christ in word and sacrifice. Sacrament, he who has borne our sin, to preach this gospel of infinite importance. And so, who knows, as you share this and talk about this, they might just say what Isaiah said years and years ago as you ask them about the holy ministry. Will you think about this? They might just say, here I am, Lord, yes, send me. And may it be so for some of our young men here at Zion. Amen.
Trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ, the everlasting God and Son of Mary, let us pray. Almighty God, giver of all things, with gladness we give thanks for all your goodness. We bless you for the love which has created and which sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, through whom you have made known your grace and your will. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and good people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that our Lord has done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness by lives that are wholly given to your service. O King of Kings, give to your holy church pastors and servants filled with your Spirit, and strengthen it through the Word and the Holy Sacraments. Make it perfect in love and in all good works, and establish it in the faith delivered to the saints. O King of Kings, give your wisdom and heavenly grace to all pastors and to those who hold office in your church, that by their faithful service, faith may abound and your kingdom increase. O King of Kings, Send the light of your truth into all the earth. Raise up faithful servants of Christ to labor in the gospel, both at home and in distant lands. O King of Kings, in your mercy, strengthen the churches and support them in times of trial. We remember our brethren in Kuwait, the Central African Republic, and the Palestinian territories. Make them steadfast, abounding in the work of the Lord. Let their faith and zeal for the gospel refresh and renew the witness of your people everywhere. O King of Kings, preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life of integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in this land, and help them to serve this people according to your holy will. O King of Kings, comfort with the grace of your Holy Spirit all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. We remember your servants Kim, Les, Carol, and Barbara, Rita, Ben, Barry, Avery, and Carl, Deborah, Grace, June, Ed, and Tina, Barb, Krista, Larry, Renee, David, Ethel Ann, and Elroy, Jane, Nancy, Jim, and Dolores, and all of Zion's homebound members. We especially ask you to comfort with your grace Victoria and Alexander on the death of their 3-year-old daughter, Maria. O King of Kings, we remember with thanksgiving all those who have loved and served you in your church on earth, who now rest from their labors. Keep us in fellowship with all your holy people, and bring us at last to the joy of your heavenly kingdom. O King of Kings, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
One announcement today as we prepare to receive our offering. Today is the winter tea here at Zion, and there will be someone selling tickets for that event following worship in the church office here on the west side of the church by the ramp doors, and those tickets are $9 apiece. So please come and be part of that social fellowship. We receive our tithes and offerings.
Out of love for God, and in order to support the work of the church, the congregation is now placing its offering into the baskets being passed by the ushers. Pastor Jurdy will then lead the congregation in the sacrament of Holy Communion, assisted by Pastor Johnson. During the distribution, the congregation will sing two hymns, O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, number 559 in the Lutheran Book of Worship, and Shine, Jesus, Shine, number 651, the hymnal supplement with one voice. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Gary and Barb Langbeck in memory of their two grandsons.
But thine is the kingdom and the power.
Join us at the same time next Sunday morning. The church sanctuary is located at the corner of 6th and Grand Streets in downtown Wausau, Wisconsin. Worship services at Zion Lutheran Church are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m., Saturday evenings at 5:15 a.m. Sunday school for children is held on Sundays at 9:15 a.m. in the church. Adult Bible study is held each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. in the church. We also invite you to attend Zion's Winter Tea, held today, February 10th, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. in the church hall. Tickets are available at the door. Zion has been broadcast for 81 years, and the Wausau Lutheran Hour continues to bring you the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome your letters and comments. Our address is Zion Lutheran Church, 709 6th Street, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54403. You can get more information on Zion's website, www.zionlutheranwausau.com. May our Savior Jesus Christ be with you and grant you a joyful and blessed peace.
sealed with the Holy Spirit, and mark the cross of Christ forever. The body and the blood of our Lord strengthen you and keep you in the true faith for life everlasting.
Peace.
Shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and